Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 194 for Friday, July 18th, 2014. How's it going? How is it? How it is? I'm in a weird mood today. Yeah, it's overcast. It's trying to rain, but not really. I'm still pretty bummed out from all the crappy news in the news this week. And I didn't even come up with a script for the show, so welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson, a.k.a. Grizzly Adams. I'm doing my best Jerry Hildenbrand imitation this week. I'm getting there. How's my neck look?
Getting there.
Yeah? All right. To start, so if it's your first time joining this little podcast, this was a weird start for this week, but I'm all right with that. I think we got to have fun with those, don't we?
Maybe. Yeah, it's always good to have fun.
Am I the only one having fun with it today?
Well, you certainly set the tone from the start.
Anyway.
Whatever tone that may be.
Yeah.
I thought it was he was auditioning for, you know, backup singer for Queensryche or something.
Should have taken a deeper breath. I didn't really plan that. I am Phil Nickinson. I run AndroidCentral.com with these yahoos. Alex Doby. Yahoo number one.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Andrew Martinick is yahoo number two.
Oh, well, thank you.
And we'll make Jerry yahoo number three.
I'll make a shirt.
I started calling my kids Monkey 1 and Monkey 2, and that's how they refer to themselves now. Oh, boy. They're going to go to school. They're going to get in trouble. It's going to be on my phone. Where are your kids calling people monkeys? That's my fault. Sorry about that. So, yeah, if it's your first time joining us, we're having a little fun today. I didn't even make a script. So we're flying without a net or something. And we're just going to kind of talk about Android-y stuff for an hour or so. We do this live on video. So if you're watching live, hi, how's it going? Hope you're in the Q&A. Ask us some questions. We're having fun. I think we're having fun. I'm going to have some fun. Where do you guys want to start this week?
I can start with the phone I have right in front of me.
Okay, something new. Oh my god, something new. I feel like we've been talking about the same thing for weeks now.
Pretty much, yeah. It's been all G3 and all Android Wear for quite a long time, but we have the HTC One E8 here today. This was announced, I think, about a month ago. It's essentially the rumored name was the M8 Ace. So it's basically an M8 internals with a plastic body. There's a soft touch one, which is really nice, the one I have here. There's also more of a glossy finish, which is sort of a little bit closer to the old butterfly devices HTC's had a few years ago. And it's nice. It's the sort of software side of it and the hardware internals are basically just the same as your regular off-the-shelf M8. You know, Snapdragon 801, all that good stuff, all the features that you're used to. For the most part, the camera is a little bit different. It's got a 13-megapixel rear camera, which I think is it looks very similar to the sensor they have in the Mini and the Desire 816, that kind of setup. So you know, more detail in daylight than the M8, but not quite as good in low light. But really, I think the thing for me with this device is just how the sort of the in-hand feel is just easier and lighter and less slippery than the M8. It really does feel nice in the hand. The soft touch is very, very soft. It sort of wraps all the way around the outside nicely. And yeah, it's just a solid high-end device.
I kind of want one. I'm looking at your pictures right now.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. There is it's sort of targeted at Russia, China, and India, I think, right now.
No!
But there is no version of this phone that exists with US bands, which is kind of...
Well, that's never stopped me before.
Yeah, I mean, HSPA, I guess, but I can kind of get away with using this because the one LTE band that this has that works in Europe is the one that my carrier's on. So there's that. It's kind of lucky there, but it's nice. It's an M8, and it's kind of a different flavor of M8, if you like. Reminds me a lot of the Droid DNA that we had a couple of years ago. That kind of soft touch with, you know, the sort of angular sides that just you know, solid phone, fits really nicely in the hand. I like it.
Here's my question. Should HTC quit with the aluminum stuff and go back to this for all their... Because, God, this looks nice on the back.
Mm-hmm. Should they? I don't know. I think they could certainly get away with it if they hadn't already made a big deal about metal as a differentiator. Mm-hmm. I think doing it now would be difficult. Maybe go back a year or 18 months. They could they could certainly do that. You know, the whole point of this device, as was rumored, is that they wanted to have something that could sell at a lower price point to try and undercut Samsung. So if you look at prices for this right now and places like eBay, it's about £400, which is a good 100 less than the M8 for same internals, but just with a plastic body, not metal. I think they could. It would be difficult to kind of step back from where they are with the metal now, but for me, just using this, it's weird that I feel kind of more secure in using this and not, you know, like Andrew was saying last week with the M8, you pull it out of your pocket and it's almost like, whoa, where's it going? It's,
mm-hmm. Right. It's why I have this rubber case all over mine for the last podcast. So.
And it, like Phil was saying, it does look very, very nice. If you look at the pictures on the site now.
I've also decided the soft touch one looks amazing compared to the glossy ones, which, as Alex pointed out, are probably going to get scratched up to hell, you know, after using it for a week.
I mean, yeah, the glossy ones look really, really nice, and they're asking which one I wanted. I was like, But I think I made the right decision with the matte, because the matte is just really, really nice. Just the feel and look of it.
That gold, like the 1X, that same type of material?
Not really. It's I don't know if you ever used the DNA, the Droid DNA. Yeah. It's pretty much that finish, but just all the way around the sides. The DNA had kind of a faux metal trim around the sides. This is basically just wrap around, and you have kind of a sort of a bleed over at the edge there, where the screen sort of melts into it.
The gold's pretty hot too.
It is. It's tastefully done, which is difficult to do for gold. The main body of it is basically not a very bluish gray, but kind of a bluish gray, and the accents, so the HTC logo, the trim around the camera, and the flash, and the power button up top are gold, and it kind of works. It works well, I think.
God, HTC makes me so mad, because they make so mad I start pulling my headphones out. I mean, keep making such good-looking phones, and the software's gotten so good. It's still fast. I've been using the G3 for a week now, and you know, HTC software is just faster, period, right? But God, I mean, they got to get their business stuff figured out still.
And I think they have to get their camera stuff figured out as well.
Yes.
That's, you know, using the G3 the past month or so is you know, going back to the M8 is tough. The amount of detail that you capture just isn't really good enough for a phone in 2014. I don't know. Maybe it is good enough. I mean, it's not any better than good enough.
No,
maybe
it's not.
It's the bare minimum, really. The camera that they have on the E8 is almost like a different kind of mediocre. It's still not particularly great, but at least it's 13 megapixels. So in daylight, you know, you at least capture a reasonable amount of detail, even if it is a little bit washed out. So I don't know. I just think it maybe in the next year needs a kind of a different approach for them. Because they can't keep putting these 4-megapixel sensors in with, you know, auto exposure issues and poor dynamic range. The biggest weakness for what is a very strong line of phones they have right now.
I'm trying to think of how much I can say. I mean, I know HTC is not deaf to those, you know, complaints, criticisms, whatever. And I know how important photography is to them. But yeah, I completely agree. I tell you the feel of the M8 compared to the G3 as well. And I still think I prefer a smaller phone like the Moto X. But I mean, the G3 is just easier to hold, right? Just the shape of it and the height of the thing. Like it's just a better in-hand phone than the M8 is.
And yeah, the M8 is more impressive technically and in terms of the materials and mm-hmm. stuff, but that it's almost like that's been at the cost of usability, and you know, maybe phones like the E8 and the G3 have kind of exposed that a little bit.
I just look back at the M7 and why is it better than either?
Yeah,
in your hand, and I think it's because they didn't care about making a battery door that comes off.
And let me see if I can find it.
Well, I mean, the M8 didn't have the M7 didn't have a battery door that came off, but I think
right.
Did it?
No.
Maybe it did in some countries. I think dual SIM version maybe did. I don't know.
Right. Ours
was one version that did, yeah.
It feels so much better when you're holding it than either the M8 or the G3.
Jerry, I should send you the One Mini, because like it is the perfect size for the way this phone feels. I mean, picture an M8 just smaller, right? And
yeah,
really, really nice and really feels good. And that's, I wish they'd stuck with that, I think. that is the right size. Let's get to the big question everyone's had, and we need to write down something at some point. HTC One, M8, or the G3? Because that's like the number one question we've got. I don't even think people are asking about the GS5. Maybe that's just our audience, but I don't know. Where do we start? I mean, it'd still be a tough, really tough pick for me, I think.
I mean, it comes down to what I've been using personally for the past, you know, ever since the device was announced, I've been using a G3. So, and strangely, I mean, I think the main reason for that is the camera, really. You know, the G3 doesn't have a perfect camera. I think the GS5 is better in some situations, but it's more balanced than either the M8 or the S5. It kind of has this sweet spot where it's pretty good in daylight, pretty good in low light. It has the OIS, so it smooths that video as well. So yeah, it'll probably come down to that for me. And I guess convenience factors like wireless charging and stuff as well.
I'm looking after just an hour with the G3, my gut tells me that the M8 is the one I would pick.
Yeah.
Because of the software. Just because of the software.
I don't disagree.
I haven't spent enough quality time with the G3, but I will next week. And then
yeah, you've got one coming your way. So, Jerry,
in preparation, I've been using the M8 for a couple weeks. So,
Jerry, give me like your 5-minute version of what you think so far after just an hour, especially with the display.
The display is nice. Everybody says it's not as bright as the S5. I think if you find a picture that's got a lot of bright colors on it and look at it on the G3, the screen is better than some people think. It's really sharp, of course, especially if you look at some text. That's the first thing I did, is found something on the internet with very small text. And it's good and sharp. This is the way phones have to go for Asian countries that use very complicated character sets for you know, writing. That's the bomb. It has a little bit of jitter to it in the software, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as the S5, and I'm not saying that the S5 is bad. There's a trade-off when you want all those features running. Things are going to take a little bit of time to get there, and things are going to shake a little and take a little longer than you think they should. I definitely see it there compared to the Moto X or the Nexus, and I understand why. I'm not saying it's bad. I wonder if that jitter would be less noticeable with a smaller screen. I like what they're doing with that extra memory. They are giving plenty of memory to the GPU. You got a big screen, you got to do that. That's reserved when you turn the device on. They say, all right, we want this much of your RAM, and that's ours. You don't get to use it. I don't have the exact numbers yet. I want to double check what I've seen. But they're reserving plenty of video RAM. I like the fake metal better than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. It looks really good. It's still feels like plastic, but it's not ugly, shiny, super fingerprint plastic like the G2 was. So I'm fine with that. You know, I haven't used it long enough to have any say on the battery or the network or anything like that. But I see this as a good upgrade from the G2. And I was afraid I wouldn't. The G2, to me, was such a good phone that I'm thinking, okay, what can you do that's better? And number one, you've made a device with a huge freaking screen that isn't that much bigger because of the tiny little bezels. My first impressions are this is a phone that I would definitely look at to buy. If I were in the market to buy my own phone and didn't have this job, I'm sure I'll find things about it I don't like. But so far, I haven't really found anything that I don't like yet.
So you're talking about the jitters that you had with the software. And I think that's something that I've noticed in every G3 that I use, something we pointed out in our review. It's something you can kind of work around. The main culprit, I think, is the launcher. Okay. Sort of loading between the app drawer, loading apps, that kind of thing.
That would make sense because it's doing a lot of stuff.
I think you're probably right that it is, part of it is the resolution as well. If you look at any device that runs that resolution on a Snapdragon 800 or 801, you kind of have that sort of effect. It's not quite as smooth as running at 1080. But I think, you know, a couple of things that I did to speed things up a little bit on this, you know, the two G3s I've been using. You know, laugh all you want, but art does seem to make a bit of difference, as it does on the Nexus 5 and some of the devices. Setting a static wallpaper compared to a scrolling wallpaper seems to speed things up a little bit as well. And getting rid of certain widgets, some of the LG widgets, especially Smart Notice, seem to sort of bog things down a little bit. So there are things you can do to mitigate that, but I agree. The software just isn't as fast as, say, the M8.
Those three things make perfect sense. I would assume that LG has considered art when they built this new home launcher. They had to. They have to know it's coming. I'm sure all the OEMs have a different roadmap than the general public does from Google, and they know about critical things like we're changing the runtime. The static wallpaper and the widgets, hey, you're doing less drawing in the background. Your system isn't taxed near as much. So that does make perfect sense, and I'll check that out.
I have the logo version, the Verizon version here. And I don't know, not a lot to say. It's a G3 with Verizon software on it.
We bitch about those logos, and rightfully so. It's ugly, but you know the AT&T one says AT&T in my status bar all the freaking time.
Yeah, no, I. So when I mention it at this point, I'm joking more than anything. Does not. That would not keep me from recommending the phone at all.
It just does look weird up there in that corner.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get used to it soon enough. But yeah,
it has kind of a different look to it, doesn't it? It's almost like the black version on Verizon is a little bit darker than the other versions. At least the pictures, that's the way it looks.
Yeah, the AT&T one has, I don't think I put the picture up anywhere, but it has a gray chin down here. Somebody on Twitter pointed it out. Yes. I didn't even notice.
It's got a gunmetal gray chin, just like Alex's.
Which, yeah, okay.
Show the buttons on the Verizon one again.
They are, the buttons are the same. The power button's a slightly different color, and the ring around the camera is a different color than what you have.
As long as it's just a different color, yeah. Not different design or material, then, you know, you can't really complain much there.
Yeah, that was the problem with the buttons on the back of the G2 on Verizon. They were just horrible.
Right. Oh, yeah. They completely redid those buttons, and that was whoever made that decision needs to be taken out to the woodshed.
Whoever made the decision to stand up to Verizon on it this time around. Kudos. Oh,
you know what? I want to revise my one-hour opinion. There is one thing I don't like.
Oh, yeah?
The speaker is right where I cover it with my hand. That's a personal thing, but the way I hold it, my palm rests right against that speaker on the back, and it sounds very muffled and yucky. But I'll get over that.
It's not a great speaker anyway, is it? It's kind of... No. It's loud enough. You can hear notifications and stuff probably if you turn all the way up when it's in your pocket, but it's no boom sound.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes back to the... Yeah, that's you said
the universal argument for any other non-HTC phone.
Yeah. I would love to see a phone like this with boom sound. I mean, it would make it too big with that display, but it just spoils you for everything else. It's that simple.
Boom sound on the back.
Then
you would just bug your people next to you on the bus.
Yeah, no, it needs to face you, and that especially when you're watching video, it makes such a difference.
You could have quad boom sound, front and back.
Oh, boom sound 7.1. Speakers everywhere.
Subwoofer.
Anything else in the G3 this week?
I'm going to... You know, do my job with this one, then I'm going to tear it apart. I'm sorry, but I'm going to...
Okay, we paid for that one. You can
physically tear the phone apart and get some heat measurements.
Okay.
I'm not guaranteeing anything. If it looks like it's going to break it, I'm not going to just break it, guys.
Thank you.
I can do it without breaking it. But I'm going to try to bust the software open and make some adjustments and see how things are different. Because I'm not convinced... that, oh, we just put an extra gigabyte of RAM in this model just because it performs exactly the same. That doesn't make any sense to me, so I want to see what exactly it may be doing in there.
There's a reason they did it. I mean, there's absolutely a reason.
And no promises, but I will try my best to have a fully functional phone after we're done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I won't tell anybody. Probably.
Yes, don't listen to this podcast, Kevin.
Let's look through the Q&A some more for more G3 stuff. Any thoughts on the LG G3? Yes, rewind 10 minutes. That's for Alex. Let's see. If AC was a sandwich, what type would it be? Asked Sam Sabry. I'm always partial for a club sandwich or a nice Reuben.
That's me. I'd say four of us probably add up to more club sandwich than anything else.
It's a lot of layers.
Yeah.
I think we'd be a big-ass meatball sub.
Here's an interesting one from Kurt. If I load art, will I void the warranty by activating developer mode? Absolutely not.
No.
That will...
Yeah. It resets back to Dalvik when you do factory reset anyway, so that's...
Yeah. It's worth reminding people, because I saw folks asking this in the past couple weeks. You know, should I switch to art? Does art make a difference? Art, as you see it now, is going to change when we get L anyway. I'm sure the underlying runtime is probably pretty close to the same, but you know, apps are going to work, and that's why, especially when you see people complaining now, this doesn't work on art. Well, what you have isn't really what we're going to get. So, quiet you.
And it does vary from phone to phone. Some phones are more stable than others with art.
Do the benefits of switching to art on the G3 worth it over potential issues? Yes. Probably. I don't know.
Then I'm switching right now.
It depends whether, you know, any of the few apps that still don't work with art are any of the ones that you actually use.
Again.
Yeah, that would be your only potential issue there.
Developer preview. Not just L, but art. Yeah, it's not the end of the world if you stay on... I mean, honestly, I have half my phones on Dalvik and half on Art, and I can't tell the difference. So, that's just me. Mike wants to know, do you guys ever start to run out of things to say about the phone of the month? On some levels, things aren't much different than, say, the Evo 4G. And actually, a couple things were better back then. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Except WiMAX.
Except for really WiMAX. Should we get kickstands back?
No.
No?
You know, I've used one very, very rarely. It's not something that's going to make my purchasing decision whether or not a phone has a kickstand. But I like the fact that case companies are making a lot of cases with kickstands. That's like good enough.
The Nexus 5 case I regularly use still has a kickstand on it, I think. Oh, yeah, look at that. It's a cool thing to have sometimes, but you know, wasted room on the back for a kickstand without a case is kind of...
And we're the wrong persons to judge that, because if I see a situation where I want to prop my phone up to watch a movie or something, I just use a tablet, because Phil just keeps us swimming in Android devices. we have a choice. A lot of people don't have a choice, and maybe, you know, kickstand works better for them.
Well, and it's a lot of people... You know, on their lunch break, they want a 5.5-inch phone with a kickstand that they can sit on the table while they're eating lunch and watch a half a movie or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I told HTC back with the M7, you know, Boom Sound's begging for a kickstand.
Agreed. That would make a great little desktop music player.
And actually, remember the, I have it here somewhere, I think it's buried.
They did that with some Windows phone, right, that had a huge speaker on it.
The original, well, it wasn't Boom Sound, it just had a speaker.
But a speaker and a kickstand.
Yeah.
Or no, it was actually a slide out.
Right, right. Yeah, that was one of the, I remember that from the Windows Phone 7 launch.
HTC Surround, is that right?
I think so.
But I think that's what it was called. Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think. I almost wanted one.
Remember the HTC One Max had...
Yes, HTC Surround.
Had a... was it the battery case for that? I don't remember. It might have just been the normal case. And it lets you prop it up with that case. So they did have like a third party, you know, for a phone that nobody bought. And was just huge. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Showing the flip case.
How great is it when everything out there is so good, we sit here and have to talk about, well, they could add a little kickstand on the back. That's all we can find.
Again, it is a good time to buy a phone. Look, HTC One, M8, or G3, yes, just buy one. And if you don't like it, sell it, buy the other.
Look at that Galaxy S5 Active. That was still one of my favorite phones I looked at all year. Mm-hmm. It's everything you like about the Galaxy S5, but it feels better when you're holding it.
Here's a really good question from Marcus. Do we care most about being connected with the most high-tech devices that have the most out-of-box features, such as Samsung, the highest-res screen, such as the G3, or usability and convenience, like the Moto X? I think user experience is Google's idea of Android. I completely agree. I've been thinking about that a lot with all these phones we've had coming through here. And really, I think Motorola probably adds the most out-of-the-box value between, you know, Assist. Assist is a big one. Active Display. Just, I mean, that stuff is useful. And it's not, here are 13 apps that you might use or you might not. Like, this is stuff right. that you will use, you know, hands down.
I think if you don't use it, value was
yeah,
a good way to put that.
If you don't use Motorola Assist, there's something wrong with you, not with Motorola Assist. Period.
Yep.
I said it.
And I agree. It's I've said that since I first got the X in my hand. These features that Motorola has added are, you know, number one, they need put into Android so everybody can use them no matter which phone you buy.
And some of them will be, right? Some of them will be with L. Trusted Bluetooth is getting baked in, which is awesome. What else?
Do not disturb as well.
Yeah, that was a long time coming.
The way that they're doing it right now in the developer preview is odd, so it'll be interesting to see how that gets cleaned up, but that's one more thing.
Yeah, you know, we say it every week, but developer preview. It's
yeah, I just turned my Nexus 5 on for the first time this week, so.
Well, the battery will be dead in 20 minutes.
I'll put it back on the charger here in a minute.
Anything new about Android Wear we want to talk about? We're another week in. We did get an answer from a Googler about watch faces, and I still say it's really weird that they didn't have something ready at launch.
Did paid apps happen this week too? Is that last week?
That was last week. So they
kind of implemented the workaround.
Yeah,
on that.
And I think Jerry's right. That'll probably just be the way you do it from here on out. But yeah, I mean, watch faces. There's going to be an official API at some point, probably. I think they said closer or with the L release, and that was actually kind of the big news, but not really surprising, is that Android Wear will run the L release whenever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not shocking that that's the case, but you know,
right. That I get it because they're gonna add new official APIs when they upgrade the OS.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I also have to agree, this is something they could have put in the original OS because a lot of people want to do that. They don't want to look at those same 9 ugly watch faces. They want something a little bit more that expresses themselves. And there's a lot of developers out there who would have just been pumping out great watch faces. You make enough of them, and some of them are going to rise to the top and be incredible. And now, anything they do is very likely to not work in the near future.
Yeah, and they said that. They said, look, you know, we would prefer you not put out these standalone apps of watch faces because it's probably going to break. And, you know, you've been warned.
Somebody asked us last week, with Android Wear, do you use the features on your Moto X less? You know, the Moto X screen, you know, well, we all know how it works, but for people who don't, it will light up just certain pixels when you have notifications that you can see without turning your phone screen on. It doesn't sound that cool until you actually use it, but I spent a week consciously considering how I use it because I still use the Moto X, and yes, Android Wear, I do not look at the active display anymore.
I tell you, this first week on the G3, I mean, battery life has been insane. Like, I get to the end of the day, like 12, 13 hours in, and I have 50% left. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is probably because I'm not turning on the display half the time. I'm archiving email from right here, which is a lot of what I do on a phone. You know, I'm to the point where somebody asks what your screen on time is, and I'm like, I care even less than I did before, which wasn't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm,
well, and not to mention that, I mean, even before Android Wear, we're a lot of times sitting at desks where we're managing email and messaging and everything from our browsers or from our computers rather than picking up the phone every 5 minutes to respond to a text message.
Yeah, I mean, the way people use phones is drastically different, I think, and especially for us, yeah. I don't text on my phone very often, especially if I'm at a desk because I'm using Google Voice. And I tell you, I bet that changes even more once we, you know, get this stuff baked into Chrome even more, is it, and maybe that's some of what we're waiting on with Google Voice, you know, proper integration for all text messages into Hangouts in that sort of sense. But you know, anything that keeps you from having to turn that phone display on is going to extend the time you can use the phone. If that means you're answering text messages on a computer, whether it's with Motorola Connect or what's the other one? It's Pushbullet. Is that what that does?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's the other direction.
Pushbullet can go back and forth both ways.
Whatever you're using, you know, desk SMS. Whatever you're using. You know, if it keeps you from turning the display on, your battery is going to be that much better. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of that and getting better. It's a big deal, actually.
I think it's been good this past generation of chips as well. Anything mm-hmm. with a, you know, the current gen Snapdragon 400 or 801 has generally had pretty good battery life.
Yes.
I remember when the G2 first came out. It was one of the first phones with it. There was a bug in the AT&T version that just destroyed the battery, and I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be horrible. But they fixed that bug, and now I agree with Alex. The current generation is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because last year, look how much we talked about like the M7 battery and how good it was. But even by the end of the year with the G2 coming out, and how much better it got. It's pretty incredible. I know we kind of go through that every year, but think back to like the first LTE devices and the Thunderbolt and just horrendous. It was so bad.
Maybe the Thunderbolt was like an L preview for battery life.
It was not good. I mean, I'm not really doing anything different with my watch. I'm not even using that launcher app thing that all you guys are.
Oh, I installed it.
Do I need to try it?
I want it to be fixed correctly. I want to be able to raise my watch and talk to launch the few things I want to actually launch. And there aren't very many of them. I don't see myself with a lot of apps on my watch, just one or two useful utilities. And I want them to come up like they're supposed to come up. Let's fix that. And then I don't care how many swipes it takes to get me to manually start it. And that's more important to me than you know, third-party fixes.
Where do you guys stand on the keyboard thing? Because we had more on that this week. Minium came out, you know, more of its stuff. And I've tried it. We talked about this some last week where I worry that we're going to try to turn these watches into little mini phones and use them the same way. And I'm not quite sure that's the right way to go about it. Do we need a keyboard on our watch? I thought Russell Holley had a good answer to that, which was basically we need something other than voice. Keyboard might not be it. Maybe it's, you know, all these canned responses that you can just swipe to really quickly or something else.
I think part of it has got to be better voice. You know, you need to be very, very close to 100% for something like voice input on a watch to not be frustrating, because if you have to keep repeating yourself, then that you know, that's not saving you any time. You know, you might as well just get your phone out in that time and type on a big 5-inch screen or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, canned responses maybe, but there's only a certain amount you can do with that. Maybe just you know, something intelligent that brings in canned responses that you can maybe string sentences together by, you know, essentially the same way you can with SwiftKey now. Maybe something like that that's context sensitive to the app that you're in.
I want user definable canned responses. That's what I want. I want to be able to have 5 slots. I can put however many words I want in there, you know, up to the limit of SMS, I guess you would think. And then if I want to sit there and dig through those, I can dig through them because I created them. But I agree that you got to fix the voice. When you can't talk into your watch, when you're sitting somewhere, you can't just talk into your watch, pull your phone out. The day I have to type on this watch, Phil, just kill me. You know, forget it.
Russell and I were talking as we were testing that keyboard. We were doing it at the same time and didn't realize it. And he's like, oh, man, you got to reset it to get it back off your watch because you have to manually install it and then set it as the IME and just all this crap. And I was like, yeah, I kind of prepared for that. Well, I mean, resetting these watches is so quick and just...
Yeah, there's nothing really stored on them.
Yeah. Well, you lose nothing. So I just have to reset back to a different crappy watch face and then I'm done. I don't know. I forget who. Yeah, I was following some Twitter conversation earlier this week. Oh, it was Kevin Toefel. I forget who he was talking to, though. And put up, you know, I think it was the G-Watch next to, like, a really nice, not, you know, probably wasn't super nice, but a nice, you know, traditional wristwatch. And it's just, I mean, it looks like a display on a watch strap. And that's just really not what I want. And can I have the Moto 360 already, please? 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 Please?
Dude. I know two watches I have here that are never going to get used when I get the 360.
Yeah.
They're just going to kind of be here.
I charged up my Pebble Steel. And see, that's the other thing is the chargers. I think I saw today that, you know, eventually they're going to start selling them separately. But I keep losing. I sent Jerry the second G-Watch I had. And what do? I leave the charger in the office. and I have to come down on Saturday morning to get it. My watch dies on the way. I was like, oh, I'll just grab the Pebble and put it back on. Pebble's dead, so I charged up my Pebble. It's like the emergency watch. I still like the way the Pebble looks so much more.
We had a thing this week on just the idea that basically all smartwatch chargers we have now, even though they're kind of just USB with different, you know, with a different adapter, they're all pretty much terrible. Just from, you know, having to use them and, you know, whether you have to clip them in or just put them on a desk or whatever, you only have one of them. It's impossible to replace. You know, it's not a standard, really. And if, you know, if smartwatches are going to continue, then you need something that is probably like what's in the Moto 360, which is Qi wireless charging. That's actually a standard that you can go and buy easily, and that is less irritating than, say, the Gear Live or the G Watch chargers.
So you say? I'm still saying we got to wait till we try it.
I know. I hope that the pogo pin layouts are identical between like the Gear Live and the G Watch and any future watches that come up with pogo pins on the back.
They are not.
No, I mean numbered 1 through 5.
I hope they
each have the same function. Because I remember from my Nexus 10, somebody, a third party, made this cable that you plug into the wall and the other end just hits the pogo pins and has a magnet on either side and it just latches right in there. Somebody could create a flat cable that would charge either one of these two watches or any future watches that use the same pogo pin layout. That would be mighty convenient. I could just roll it up and throw it in my, you know, my shoulder bag, and it's always there.
Problem is, they're going to have to start selling some of these watches before you get companies doing that.
Mm. Yep.
We'll see.
I'm just Jerry pipe dream.
The longer it takes, the more I worry about the price of the 360.
I'm still sticking to $399.
If they don't make it 360, they're crazy.
That's true. That is still true. Looking through the Q&A.
They're crazy if they make it 360 because nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah, nobody's going to. Yeah.
But
I'm going to the bottom. I'm going to find somebody who hasn't been plused one at all.
Do it.
Do you think the next Nexus phone will have a 64-bit processor? If there is one. Actually, we were talking about this, I think, internally last week, weren't we, Jerry? I think yes, just because it's next.
There is one, then yes.
Yeah,
it's kind of got this at the stage for the entire next year. So,
how do you feel about the recent report that the LG, that the AT&T LG G3 doesn't support Qi wireless charging? It's not a report; it doesn't support it. You know,
the fact.
Not surprised at all.
Supports PowerMat, right?
Yeah.
AT&T phones support Qi charging. None.
Seriously, I mean, I've been hearing about and dealing with and whatever with PowerMat for, you know, since I took this job, right? They always had huge booths at CES and all the shows and stuff. When I'm in the Delta clubs, they all have little PowerMat chargers down there. LaGuardia, I think, is where I usually see them. I think they have them in Atlanta, too. I've never seen anyone use them. I get PowerMat. I get the idea.
It's in all the airport kiosks, too, trying to sell you a case for your S5 or your iPhone.
They need to, you know, companies need to stop buying into that. It's, you know, it's WiMAX, it's Betamax, it's dead. Quit propping it up.
Mm-hmm. Or build it into the phone so you don't have to buy a $70 case.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the problem is that it's still not going to be they can build it in, it's still not going to be compatible with the other side. And all of these companies are on the boards of both the Power Matters PMA and then A4WP, which does Qi charging. People are on both boards, and so they're just waiting to see a winner, and then they're just going to choose that side. Meanwhile, you have a couple of big companies that get in, you know, with just one, but until one gets picked as, you know, the true winner, nobody's going to put their foot down, and it's going to keep, you know, dribbling along like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen any PowerMat device anywhere in Europe, is the other thing. It's, if it is a competing standard, it doesn't really seem to be competing anywhere outside of the US.
Well, no, I'm not going to knock PowerMat. One of my wife's first smartphone was an iPhone 3G, and she had one of those PowerMat cases on it. Because if you remember the battery life on the G3, you had, or the iPhone 3G, you had to do something. It was like 6 hours, 7 hours, and it worked great. It outlived the physical battery itself in the phone. That's why she had to switch, because the battery wouldn't charge. But it's no better than Qi charging. It's, you know, one is not better than the other. It's money that is causing this conflict.
Yeah, they keep making, you know, small advancements, and they say, oh, we can push, you know, we can charge devices that need different voltages at the same time, or, you know, something like that. But it's, again, if it's not built in to devices, then, you know, what good is all that, you know, supposedly differentiating technology? I know that I have several Qi devices and several Qi chargers, all from different manufacturers. I can set one device on one charger and one device on another charger, and it works. And that's not really something you can say right now about PowerMat. And they, you know, they're going to keep trying, but they need to stop.
They need to switch and just make the most badass Qi, you know, case, whatever, charging pad, you know, that you've ever seen.
Right. They can still have their own brand and their own way to do things.
Yep.
It just has to be interoperable with Qi. That's not, you know, the end of the world.
Do it. Do it. Please.
When I design a phone, it'll have both in it.
Have you guys heard that Motorola is about to launch another device? It may be called Moto M. I don't think I'd heard that one.
Haven't heard that one, no. Moto M. Seems a little...
Modem?
It's going to be a palindrome.
Ooh.
M-O-T-O. Think about it.
No, I mean, I would expect something. We're coming up on a year on the Moto X. I'm telling you, I still want just a slightly faster, more powerful Moto X.
The same size. Same exact size. Same screen. Don't mess it up, Moto. Yep. Don't mess it up.
Don't get greedy.
Although we know it's not.
Wayne wants to know, what do you think about the phone unlocking bill that was passed this week? Do you think phone users will finally have more freedom over their devices from carriers? No.
No.
Not until you quit paying for 2-year contracts.
Yeah, not until you just buy the phone unlocked. Yeah. I was just talking to a friend recently, actually, asked me a couple weeks ago. He's traveling to Korea, and he goes, you know, I tried calling AT&T. I tried to unlock my phone so I can, you know, at least, you know, when I'm between the two areas, I can put a SIM in, or if I go to a different country, and they will not let him do it. Even though he's, 18 months through a 22-month contract, they say until he hits 22, they won't let him. And it's like a hit or miss thing. Sometimes AT&T, after 4 months, if you're in good standing, they'll just unlock it. Other times they'll just say no, and he's stuck having to buy a different device and keep paying his AT&T contract either way.
Pay the $30 or whatever and just use one of those services. Yeah. Just do it.
And that's what I told him you have to do. You have to just do that rather than, you know, going to AT&T, which you would think. They say, hey, they sold you the phone. You've continued to pay them, you know. You just expect a favor, but...
And that's not just an AT&T thing.
No.
I helped a friend unlock his iPhone on T-Mobile because he's lucky and going to Costa Rica for a vacation and wanted to unlock one of those phones he bought on Jump. First call? No, we can't do that. We won't do that. We're sorry. But I meet the criteria that I thought you needed to meet. Well, that's not written in stone. 10 minutes later, call back. They unlocked it for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no consistency... You know, and we can say, well, the law says you have to do such and such. you know, what are they going to do? What are you going to do if they say no? Are you going to take somebody back to the Supreme Court because they wouldn't unlock your phone? No, we're still at their mercy. They're going to do whatever they want to do.
Buy an Nexus. So, buy Unlocked.
No, buy an iPhone directly from Apple. Yeah. Buy the HTC, you know, dev unlocked version.
Yep. You get a better phone it's not burdened down with AT&T Cloud and Verizon Navigator.
Absolutely. And that was, the month. Did you notice that, Jerry, when you set up that AT&T yes. G3 today? So it starts you off on this AT&T setup thing, which I don't want because I know what they're going to go through, right? But right. As soon as you hit skip, it just dumps you straight into the phone, which for me is fine.
And
right?
Then remind you every 15 minutes that you can go back and use the AT&T setup.
Right. You know, but if it's my mom and it just dumps her into the phone, that's no good. Verizon's wasn't as bad. Verizon still had a normal-ish setup process, although it was interesting when it says, which mail would you like to set up? Blah, blah, you know, Yahoo, Outlook, whatever. And it says, you can set up Gmail later. Like it wasn't
right. Gmail's a different step.
It didn't even mention Gmail by name. It said you can set up your Google account later, which I thought was interesting. It's just funny, you know, the different ways they all handle that and the way they all deal with it.
And they all handle it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Nobody does it right.
Well, Motorola does better, I think.
I have never used a new Motorola device that was carrier locked. Well, they don't have that crap in the
because they're doing it right now.
Good.
That's what I'm saying. Good. HTC is still pretty good too. I was never crazy about all their sync stuff and, you know, bring your contacts and all that stuff over. I wish I had numbers of how many people actually keep their contacts on the SIM cards. It's probably a lot more than I think. You know, I mean, to me, it just makes no sense. Like, especially if you're using an Android phone, right? Use a Google account, sync all your stuff in there. People are amazed when, you know, I'm like, yeah, I just signed in and it's all back.
Well, I still see it every week. You know, somebody says, oh, I lost my phone, say on Facebook or whatever, you know, I lost my phone. I need your phone numbers. People, this is, you know, you've been able to do this for like 10 years, you know, sync it, export it, do something with it. It doesn't have to be on the SIM card or on the phone memory or whatever.
Even if you don't use Android, you can do it on the iPhone, you can do it on Windows Phone, you can do it everywhere.
Do it on anything. Crazy to me.
Flipping through the questions some more. Anything else to add on the OnePlus One? I've seen a lot of people getting them in the past week or two. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of my big thing. I mean, actually, was it yours I saw, Andrew? Somebody else had one. I forget who. Where was I recently? Where have I been? What was that last trip I took? I was in San Francisco.
I don't know if I ever saw you when I had it.
Yeah, no, somebody had one at I.O., I think, and I finally got to play with it. It's a damn nice phone, actually. And it frustrates me that much more that they've had all these stupid, you know, PR things with it. And that you can't
for
just buy
$299,
one.
It's a really nice phone.
Yeah.
So it's a shame that you can't just buy it, because there are going to be a lot of people who will end up not buying it eventually because they've moved on, and they could have experienced something really nice for a really acceptable, exceptional price.
A really nice piece of hardware. It's still too big.
Mm-hmm.
I'll spend another $100 and buy a Nexus 5 and not have to put up with their stupid crap trying to buy one.
Right. You can spend, $50 more.
So there's that.
Yeah. I want them to just have their website, just have a buy now button that takes you to a store where you put it in your cart and you buy it.
It depends. I mean, the strategy isn't to make money on the hardware. So, you know, what are they hoping to get out of this? It's probably mainly publicity and building a brand. So, as long as they're not making money selling things, there's never, as long as they're not making money on the hardware, they're always going to have to keep a tight rein on this. So, you know, one sort of the main advantage of it leads into the main disadvantage.
And I don't, their parent company is huge. I mean, money in the bank, they've got a vault with a diving board so you can swim in the bills, I think. It's not that there isn't money to be spent there. I don't understand why maybe seeing the demand, we can't meet the demand. Let's funnel a little bit more money into this project and let's build a couple million of those phones and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I think if you're listening, you should do it. I would buy your phone if I could just buy it. I've never heard.
I would buy your phone if I could buy your phone.
Right. I've heard some people complain about yellowing of the screen, and I don't know. I remember all the other phones with yellow screens. It turns out it's glue, and if you give it a month, that yellow goes away. That could be the issue. I'm willing to risk it. I would buy your phone if I could just click a button on the internet and have it appear at my door.
Mm-hmm. And especially considering, again, going back to the price, it gets to be, you know, people get a lot closer to impulse buying a $300 phone than a $650 phone.
Matthew writes, with Android L coming to Android Wear, what are the thoughts on how fragmentation may play a factor as OEMs and carriers struggle to update phones and devices due to the enormity of changes included in L? Could or should Google drop a Nexus Wear? No, I mean, it's totally separate.
Totally. Yeah, we've seen the developers at Shifty Jelly have blown this Android fragmentation for developers away. It's bullshit. You can edit that out, Phil, but that's what it is. That's what they say it is, and it is. They laid it out exactly what you need to do, and it's not hard to develop for Android like these horror stories say. Fragmentation to the user, Google Play Services fixes that on 93% of every device. Like, can we just stop saying fragmentation now?
And especially with Android Wear, I mean, it's looking for any device running 4.1 or higher for the notifications, yep. And everything else is provided by Google Play Services. So it's really not this issue.
I know there's somebody out there somewhere that's listening, and they have an old Samsung or HTC phone that's still running Donut or something. You know, I'm sorry, upgrade your phone. Your phone is so old that I don't want to say it doesn't count, but you can't tailor a platform around you and your old phone.
But the phone, I mean, it kind of doesn't count when the phone is so old that it couldn't run any of these services, even if you tried.
75% of phones are on 4.1 and up, period.
And 93% of the phones can all install the same apps. 75% of those phones can run them exactly the same way. This isn't as big a problem as some people want you to believe.
Scott has a good question. Can you even buy an unlocked G3 in the U.S.? It doesn't have all the carrier bloatware. All I've seen are carrier-branded devices. I think you're right. I mean, and we've said this before.
HTC and Sony have been good about it.
HTC has been really good about it. Sony has other issues selling in the U.S. But yeah, HTC with its unlocked version or dev version. I got the unlocked one of the M8 because I didn't want this carrier crap. And you know, granted, we're going to pay full price for the phone anyway, usually, just because we have to buy so many. But I didn't want to deal with the carrier crap that's on it because I'd forgotten how bad it was. I fired up the M7 when we were in Barcelona this year. Because it finally got, was it 4.2, I think? And along with it came, you know, like Beats Music or, you know, some other stuff baked into the ROM that I didn't want. And it's just, they got to stop doing that. And it's the same, you know, it was the same with the AT&T G3. I don't want Beats. I don't think I ever took a picture I meant to. Because that was going to be my little mini review of the AT&T one, which is just marked by the number of apps that I have to disable. Because it's just crap I don't want. I'll let Jerry do it for me.
Oh, I will. I'll have plenty to say about that if you want me to.
You know, a browser bar. Quit putting that crap on there. Just stop. I wasn't in a good mood.
I'm a firm believer that you have certain features baked into the operating system that LG has put in there. You can't not ship those. But anything extra, AT&T Family Maps, screw you, I can download that from Google Play. Leave it off my phone.
That's because they have this God knows how long, you know, deal with, whatchamacallit, I just totally forgot their names. Cool company, very nice company, but just not something you need baked into a phone that has Google Maps on it, period.
Well, a big one for Verizon is all the Amazon stuff too, yep. Right? You get 5 or 6 or 7 Amazon apps. It's just nuts.
And every one of those apps is in Google Play if I want them.
At least I will argue that the Amazon stuff I have a much, much greater chance of actually using. But yeah, Amazon, Amazon Kindle, Amazon Music, Amazon App Store. Thought there was one more, maybe not. And I think there's actually a hook to actually just go ahead and sign you into the Amazon App Store within the account settings. which is kind of interesting.
Because the biggest thing Jerry brought up is being able to just put it in Google Play under a your carrier, you know, your carrier here section, yep. where you should be able to just click in, give them a one-click batch install, you know.
Let me see if there's a Verizon section in here, because remember they were doing that for a little while. And Sprint was getting better about it, too.
Put a shortcut right on the freaking middle of the home screen where I can go look at AT&T's recommended apps.
Yeah.
I click that shortcut once, it takes me to Google Play, and then it's done.
All right, see.
So that's what Sprint did for a long time is they did a lot of stub apps to the Play Store.
Which is marginally better. Yeah, all right, see, here's the Verizon one. It's got a Verizon, you know, button in the store. You hit it, there are all the Verizon apps. Now, no, that's not the same to Verizon. I get that. You know, and here are, you know, a bunch of apps, and some of them aren't even loaded. USA Today, Evernote, Hulu Plus, Shazam, Duck Dynasty slots. Thank you, Verizon, for not putting that on the phone and leaving me with the choice.
If you don't review that app.
But, like, why is Google Play Newsstand in there? Weather Channel, you know, all the Amazon stuff, Slacker Radio, Official Messy Live. Great. Thank you, Lionel. I don't know. I'm so down on.
There's no T-Mobile section on the T-Mo GS5, though. Hmm. It's interesting.
Do you like the new Android L button design? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it, I think.
No better or worse than the last ones. It makes interesting to see what Sony's going to do now.
Yeah.
It looks like my PlayStation.
It's almost like they missed a trick with not doing that from the get-go on all their Android phones.
Do you think they're still going to be there? Like when it's...
Do I think what are going to be there?
Do you think the buttons are final?
That's a good question.
There's a lot of stuff that's clearly not final that we saw from Google I.O. All the screenshots they were using are a lot different than what this preview is. But
a lot of the screenshots aren't even screenshots. If you look up close, they're just mock-ups. Like anything in this preview build, it is subject to change. If they decide that for whatever reason they want to go with slightly different looking buttons, they will have slightly different looking buttons. We shouldn't take anything that's in this preview to mean it's set in stone.
I'm just glad that the home button doesn't look like a little picture of a house like some manufacturers do.
Yeah.
Or Verizon.
As long as they move from that.
Or a Verizon logo, yeah.
Yeah.
That should be done. Verizon, do it.
Remember the post we kept seeing that it was going to be a Google button? It's like, no. No.
Mm.
No.
I don't know. They're going to have a theme engine. I'd like to see the buttons themable.
Yeah. I guess. There's some themes. The themes are either really, really good or there's some really bad ones out there.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. And I know I used BlackBerry for a long, long time. And before BlackBerry 10, your only customization was to install a theme. And a theme can edit just about every part of the OS, the look and feel. And because of that, you have just tons of them. And some of them are really good and made you more productive and were better. But some of them were just, you know, strawberry shortcakes, muffin house theme, you know.
I guarantee you can find that for CM11 right now if you want.
Where was it? What is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? 42. Todd, since you asked. Come on. Thoughts or first impressions on the HTC Android Wear Watch leak? Is it a middle ground between the G-Watch, Gear Live, and the Moto 360? Asked Brian. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was somebody telling somebody else what the watch looks like, and that's where that leak came from. So maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not. We'll see. That's what I think.
I think HTC is going to do a damn good job in it, and I'm willing to wait and see what they bring to me before I make any judgments.
I have no comment whatsoever.
Fine.
No, I think they're going to do a good job. If you look at the track record in design, not just on the software side, but with hardware as well, right. You know, I think what they could bring to that in a smartwatch that... you know, maybe you've missed out with some of the current plastic-based stuff. I think it's going to be something to look forward to.
So
the company that brought us the M7. We can never forget that. And that phone was a joy to hold and use.
So my question on these new watches is, is Google going to put every single one of them in Google Play, or are they going to choose to have just a couple at any given time, and HTC is going to be up a river trying to sell their Android Wear watch on their own, while the G Watch and the Gear Live sit in Google Play for millions and millions of people to see?
So with the kind of control that they have over the software on the devices, it, you know, they're not stopping Samsung and LG from selling them in other places. You can get hold of them on Amazon in the UK, you can get hold of them from other independent retailers. I think you'll see them all over the place. I think you will also see them on Google Play. That's probably part of the deal. If you look at how much control Google has over the software, and you know, there's some things that OEMs just can't change. So yeah, you'll see it on Google Play. You'll probably see them in a bunch of other places as well.
I hope so. I just don't know if there's, I guess we'll see. I mean, because the Moto 360 being on Google Play probably wouldn't be much of a surprise at this point. But you never know if things are going to separate a little bit more when Motorola goes to Lenovo. But as far as HTC, I mean, is we don't right now, other than the G Watch and the Gear Live being there, we don't have a precedent for how that's going to go down.
Well, the section there is Android Wear. You know, if you look at Android Wear as a family of devices, if something is an Android Wear device, surely that would be under this big banner in Google Play.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also have a Chromebook session that doesn't sell every Chromebook.
True.
And then an accessory store that only sells their own accessories. I guess we'll just see. It's just a question. I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
I'm more concerned about when I can go to Macy's and see one under the glass counter and just buy one. I people like us shop online. We know to go to Best Buy if we want to buy things in a physical location. But people shop at Macy's or JCPenney's or wherever. That's where they go and buy clothes or a fashion watch or, you know, jewelry. That put them there. That's how you're going to move them. If you want people to see them, you have to put them where people go. And Google Play is not that place.
And that's how you're going to sell a watch like the 360, which, you know, so much of the appeal of that watch is the way it looks, the design of it. There's only so much you can appreciate from looking at screenshots and renders and photos online.
I just think that takes a next level of getting customer service people or the guy behind the watch counter up to speed on how that works. You know, a lot of places like, you know, Macy's or Nordstrom or something like that will have reps from different watch brands behind the counter that can tell you just about that brand. So is there going to be a Google person, you know, working behind the watch counter at Macy's now? I mean, that would be pretty cool, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's a good question. Awesome. If you go back to what was rumored for this Android Silver thing, which is supposedly in the works, that was part of it, I think. There was a big carrier store presence that was supposed to be part of that effort. You know, how much of that you could extend to watches, I'm not sure, but you're right. That if you want to have someone who really knows about Android Wear and who can, you know, let you know what it does beyond a traditional watch, then that's what you need.
And Google knows the value of that because they already do it in some locations for Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm. They're doing it on Best Buys.
Google specialist at your Best Buy and find out everything there is to know about the Chromebook. So the value's there. Google knows that the value's there. Maybe that's something we'll see. I don't know. I'll volunteer.
Anything else? Should we wind down? Should we wrap it up?
Unless you see any other good Q&A there.
There's always lots of good Q&A, Andrew. We just don't always have time to...
Actually, this list has gotten twice as long since I last looked at it.
We just don't always have time to get to it all. And for that, well, that's life.
I do want to hit one.
Yes.
Harbinder says, what's the point of mid-price phones when lower-end products like the Moto G are so good at a ridiculously low price? And Harv reminds us he's in a humid Glasgow right now. That's something I wonder that myself. Moto does such a great job with their entry-level budget phones. That last night at the – or the night before at the AT&T holiday what's coming for Christmas event, they had a Desire 610. I've been looking at just an unlocked one for a while. It works really well. It works every bit as good as the Moto G. It's a very nice, great entry-level phone, fast, but it's $300 more than the Moto G. So I don't – I don't know how that's going to be fixed by people that aren't Motorola, but somebody's going to have to do something.
I just think it shows that Motorola spent the money in the right places on devices like the Moto G and the Moto E, whereas something like the Desire 610 or the Sony Xperia M, they spent a lot of money on the design and making it look like it's a higher end phone than it is. And then they cheap out in the internals and the screen and things like that. I mean, look at the Moto G, the 720p display and plenty of processing power and a decent camera. And then it's just in a cheap plastic shell that, you know, is plastic taken to its, you know, eventual conclusion. You know, they didn't spend an extra $100 making the outside nice.
And if you go to any, you know, say HTC and ask them why something with the same CPU that's in the Moto G is so much more expensive, they'll say, look, design costs money. Design isn't free. Software isn't free. That's what you're paying for.
But on the other hand, there's no reason HTC can't make a generic phone using, you know, maybe old design like the One X with just a basic build of stock Android in it like the Moto G and sell it for $199. I don't understand why nobody else is trying it.
Well, for Motorola now, that stock Android look is the defining, you know, software style of Motorola. For HTC, it muddies the message a little bit to have devices coming out with different interfaces. I mean, that's why they've spent so much time on Sense and continued to push it.
Desire 610 Google Play Edition. Do it.
There you go.
All right, I think that's going to do it. I think we're going to wrap up. We're at a weird, like, point of the summer. I mean, it's not like there's not a lot of cool stuff out there, because there is, but I'm starting to wait for the next cool stuff. I'm ready. I'm getting itchy. It might be something else.
We've seen from all the big names except for Google.
Motorola.
Now it's time to get ants. Well, yeah, but we're pretty sure Motorola's coming with something very shortly. Yeah.
Well, let's not forget, IFA is just right after when we're expecting the Motorola stuff, and that's always big for Samsung, for Sony. You know, maybe a few others this year.
Yeah, we're a month and a half away from that. The week after IFA is the new combined, we used to call it CTIA. They had a spring show and a fall show, and now it's combined into a fall show, so I'll be at that. And there's something else going on like 2 weeks after that, I think, in Atlanta that I might... Oh, it's a connected thing. Then maybe I'll go to. We'll see, by the same people who put on Mobile World Congress. Haven't decided if I'll run up to that or not. We'll see. So, I mean, yeah, it's not like there's a shortage of things going on. We're just in this weird spot where stuff was announced, we got to see it early, and now it's finally available. And I feel like we're talking about it week after week. But the good news is there's new stuff to talk about it week after week. So that's cool.
Absolutely.
That's good. Ooh, by the way, we had one good email, well, maybe more than one good email, but one that just came in today, so it gets my attention. Well, two. I'll read two. Andrew, on the last podcast, you talked about the G3 versus the M8. I'm curious how you hold the OnePlus up against the G3 in terms of functionality. So think about that for next week, Andrew, because you'll have a,
a G3 by then. Have had spent more time with the G3 by then.
So
I spent a lot of time with the OnePlus One, though.
Adam, don't let us forget that. And then Duncan asked... wanted to know if you've noticed any significant impact on your smartphone battery life when your Android Wear device is connected. And I think we kind of answered that earlier, and I said, yes, I'm getting even more out of it now. Was my thought on that. Anybody else?
I haven't seen any usage that's enough to actually hit the battery information screen. Yeah. I'm sure it's using battery, but not enough to be on that screen listed as something that's using your battery.
And the whole point of Bluetooth Low Energy is you can have these kind of connected devices running and not use a whole lot of battery.
Yup. Alright. Well, if you want to send us an email, and Adam, you can send us another one next week to remind us, podcast@androidcentral.com. You can also find us all over the place. Start with, I don't know, Google Plus. It's a very cool place. Just search our names, Android Central, obviously, for the site. Our names, just search us. We are there. We are finally getting our Instagram account back up and running, so we're going to have some fun with that. So go follow that if you do the Instagram thing. I tell you, it's clunky. There's so many ways you have to post stuff now, and I might have to hire somebody to do all that. We'll see. Maybe I'll try to find somebody locally. If there's anybody in Pensacola listening to this and they want to come hang out in my office for a few hours a day or a week or something, we'll figure it out. Get in touch with me.
Oh my god,
I could have fun. Cool.
Looking at flights right now.
I would spend a couple hours in your office every single day until you chased me out with a broom.
You do notice that I only see you like once a year now, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for that.
Trying to make that change.
So go follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Go subscribe to our YouTube page. I think we might still be on MySpace. I don't think we're on MySpace. We were never on MySpace.
We're on the Facebook, though.
We are on the Facebook. Yeah, I mean, it's only so many hours in the day. Only so many things we can do. But you know, Instagram's fun. I like
more
Instagram.
More social networks than there are hours in that day.
Basically. As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can go to that little website or call 888-468-6158 if you prefer to talk to somebody. And by the way, be sure to use coupon code AC10 at checkout and you will save 10%. Is pretty awesome just for listening to the podcast. Thank you, Jerry, Alex, Andrew. Thank you, guys. Everybody at home listening, putting up with us for yet another hour. Thank you, too. Everybody watching on video, bask in the glory that is my beard. Thank you as well. See y'all next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Toodles.
Still here? Good. That means you're one of our hardcore listeners, and I have one last favor to ask you. You can help Android Central stay free by downloading and finishing a short anonymous survey. It's going to take no more than 5 minutes, and your answers are going to help match our show with advertisers that best fit the sensibilities of the podcast and the listeners like you. So if you complete the survey, you will also be entered in an ongoing monthly raffle to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Nobody's going to sell or share your email address, and we're not going to send you any email unless you win. All you have to do is go to www.podsurvey.com/android. That's podsurvey.com/android. Take the survey, and you'll get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You will get my thanks, and you will help make this show even better. That's it. See ya.